Hey, Steve. Everyone's well here. Thanks so much.
Good. That's all we care about. Now let's get to other parts. So what's the status of the Phillies? I know Joel Sherman of the New York Post earlier in the day said they had tested negative, but do they have to now go through a second test and be negative?
So the very latest, within the hour, Major League Baseball announced that in addition to tonight's game, which was scheduled to be played at Citizens Bank Park, tomorrow night and Thursday night at Yankee Stadium have been postponed as well. So the Phillies will not play again until Friday, at the earliest, at which time they will be the road team in their own ballpark against the Toronto Blue Jays, opening a series there. Now, in the meantime, the Phillies are probably going to be tested daily between now and then. They were tested yesterday. Okay. They were tested again today. That's a bit of a break or departure from the alternate day testing that we've seen since the beginning of training camp. Teams have been getting tested every other day. The Phillies will be tested, it sounds like, daily. So, again, it was yesterday and today, probably tomorrow. My guess would be Thursday as well. And the idea there is that my understanding is that the incubation period for exposure to COVID-19 and when you might test positive is several days. The average, I was told, is 4 days. It could be as much as 2 weeks. So what Major League Baseball wants to do is make sure that as these days go by, more positives don't start popping up. The tests the Phillies took yesterday, as far as the players and coaches are concerned, all came back negative. But that doesn't mean a whole lot because, from what I've been told by some medical people, if you were exposed to the virus over the weekend, you probably wouldn't have tested positive on Monday. So as the week goes on, we'll get a better sense for whether there was exposure to the Marlins over the weekend and whether there's been any spread among the Phillies.
So that's where they stand. And ironically, you mentioned they'll be the road team. Ironically, it's the Toronto Blue Jays who weren't allowed to set up camp in Pennsylvania.
Right. And I think, I think this is sort of one of the reasons why. Because when Major League Baseball was very pleased during the 3-week training camps that the rate of testing actually was going down. I think last week and the week before that, they were at a half of 1% positives, which was terrific because I think during the intake period, it was sort of like 0.9 or something like that.
Yes, right.
Still less than 1%, but it has gone down. It was much easier then, though, because teams were encamped in their own cities and doing very, very little traveling. Now, when you introduce airplanes and hotels and players coming from one region to another, I think that was the reason why Pennsylvania said, you know what, one team in Pittsburgh is enough. We don't want to invite a second team in, a team from a different division from the Pirates. So now you'd have not only the same 9 opponents coming in to play the Pirates, but you'd have 9 additional opponents coming in to play the Blue Jays. And I don't think they wanted any part of that. And you're sort of seeing why. The Marlins, I don't think, were infected in Philadelphia. I think they brought it with them. And that wouldn't be a surprise because they came from Miami, where it's a hot spot right now.
Right. It is a hot spot. So is there any word on how the Phillies will make up the games with the Yankees? Because I know the Yankees are going to switch out since the Marlins were supposed to play the Orioles and the Phillies were supposed to play the Yankees. Now the Yankees will play the Orioles. Is that how they're going to try to work this out so that, when it's supposed to be, for example, for the Phillies, it's supposed to be playing the Marlins again, they can play the Yankees instead or something like that?
Yeah, I think, look, it's kind of a mess, right? I think baseball's going to take a look at it. Now you've got the Nationals as well, who were supposed to go to Miami over the weekend, and instead they won't play, so they're going to miss some games.
Right.
So there's going to be 4 or 5 teams impacted by the Marlins having to come off the field for a week. And so I think baseball's going to have to take a look at that and see what they can do schedule-wise. Joe Girardi said something interesting today. He does a weekly interview on MLB Network Radio, and he said, and I've heard him say this before, but, you know, kind of in thinking about this and in sort of the likelihood that this is not going to happen only one time, that you're going to have outbreaks like this throughout the course of the season, baseball should not be so concerned that everyone plays 60 games. Play as many as you can, and then at the end of it, go by winning percentage. So if one team's played 57 and one team's only been able to play 59 and another team's played all 60, rank them by winning percentage and pick the playoff teams that way. It's unusual, and people will cry about competitive balance and the integrity of the standings, but it's happened before. In 1981, when they came back from the strike and they had the first half and second half, not everybody played the same number of games. They went by winning percentage, and that's how it went. So I think the focus needs to be on playing the games as safely as possible rather than having the teams worry about playing doubleheaders and doing extra travel. Play as many games as you can, and at the end of it all, if you can get through to the end of September, rank them by winning percentage and go from there.
In fact, Scott, 1972 was the other year where there was a strike to begin the year, and not everybody played the same number of games. And you know how we always talk about how far behind you are in the loss column. Well, in the American League East in 1972, the Red Sox and Tigers ended up even in the loss column, but the Tigers had played one more game and they won it, and they won the division by a half game. Yeah, that's the way they determined it. It's not unprecedented, is my point.
Right, and it's not ideal. It's not what anybody wants, but under the circumstances,
this isn't ideal.
Yeah, the whole thing's not ideal. The whole season isn't. It's not ideal that you're only playing within your division and you're not playing the rest of the league. You know, so look, I think the point here is that safety has to come first. And I, you know, we could talk about whether they should have played that game on Sunday at Citizens Bank Park. In my opinion, there's no way either team should have been on the field. I think the players felt like they should play and needed to play. Somebody from MLB needed to step in and say, no, you can't, and don't worry about missing the game. We'll figure it out later. And I think that's where the priority has to be, is can we do this safely and keep people healthy?
And this, what this shows is that you have positives with one team. And again, we don't know what the situation is yet as the Phillies test out this week. So let's just say, hey, look, it's one team right now. It's the domino effect it's having on everybody else, even if there are negative tests other places.
Right. I mean, look, if the Phillies are lucky and they don't have any other positive tests this week, they still have lost four games. They've missed four games.
Right.
So, you know, there's a fallout effect for them. The Yankees will have missed two games. The Orioles will have missed two games. The Nationals will have missed three. So, you know, indirectly, the Marlins are taking other teams off the field. And so instead of, you know, and the notion that this will only be a one-time thing is kind of silly. You know, I think just the reality of the situation is that teams are going to get there are going to be outbreaks. And if you can keep them as minimal as possible and as isolated as possible, but it's still going to have an effect on everybody around that particular team.
It sounds like Major League Baseball is doing everything they can, though, to just keep pushing forward. Now, obviously with protocols, but is that a fair statement to make, that it sounds like Major League Baseball is doing everything they can to keep pushing the train forward?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And look, they believe that this outbreak is confined to the Miami Marlins. That's their belief. I personally think that that's still wishful thinking at this point. You know, if we get to tomorrow at this time or Thursday at this time and the Phillies have still not shown any positive tests, I think you can then go ahead and make that claim that the Marlins were the only team impacted by it from a health perspective, and in that sense, baseball got lucky. But I don't know that they can officially say that they know what the extent of this is yet. So they believe it's confined to one team, and they are hopeful that the protocols that they have put in place will allow the other 29 teams to play almost uninterrupted. I mean, there's as we've been talking about, I mean, there's some interruption in terms of just teams missing games, but health-wise, uninterrupted, and they'll worry about figuring the rest out later. And then the Marlins are going to have to replace upwards of, what, 13 or 14? There are 17 total infections now. I think it's 15 players. That's half their active roster.
Yeah.
They're going to have to go to their taxi squad and find guys. They're already signing free agents. So, you know, they're certainly in a situation that's going to affect them from a competitive standpoint. But baseball believes that it's isolated to the Marlins and that the other 29 teams are going to be relatively unaffected. We'll see.
Yeah, no, we'll see. What's interesting is that the Braves haven't been brought up in this. I'd like to know what the Braves' testing is because they played the Marlins before they played the Phillies.
That's right. They played them in an exhibition game. And, you know, the one thing about that is you would imagine if their exposure to the Marlins was I don't have the calendar in front of me, but it was more – obviously it was more early and middle of last week. You would imagine that that would show up in their testing by now if any players were impacted. Now, that's not necessarily the case, but we're certainly past that 4 or 5 day average incubation period.
That's why, that's why I brought it up, Scott. Yep.
You would hope that it would have shown up, but there again, we don't really know. I think we're all still learning how the virus behaves.
Every single day we're learning. Learning. Outside, Joe Girardi, I know, did his weekly show, but I know the Nationals voted as a team that their preference was not to go to Miami this week. Any word on how the Phillies feel about getting back to play now, or are they comfortable with the decision made to not come back till Friday?
Well, I mean, I certainly think that they were comfortable with the decision to not play tonight. I'm sure you have players who are itching to play. I mean, it's what they do.
Right.
You know, in a normal season, you wouldn't have 4 days off except for the All-Star break. I'm sure if you asked Jake Arrieta, who was supposed to pitch last night and then was supposed to pitch tonight and would have pitched tomorrow night, how he feels about it, he probably would say that, look, I haven't pitched in almost a week now, and it's going to affect me. So I'm sure that from a competitive standpoint, they'd like to be on the field. I'm sure they are also relieved that their next set of games, their next series, will be played at home. I don't know. I'd love to know how they feel about the idea of getting on a plane and going to Miami next Tuesday to play the Marlins again. I wonder if you'll hear more players speak up the way the Nationals did today about not wanting to do that, not wanting to go down there. You also have some Phillies players who have some stuff going on, like Didi Gregorius has a chronic kidney condition that leaves him at higher risk, and Zach Wheeler has a newborn at home, and Bryce Harper has a pregnant wife at home. And so you have Phillies players who have issues in their lives that that might make them a little bit apprehensive. So I think as the next few days go by, and hopefully we'll start to hear from some players, we'll get answers to those questions.
What are you allowed to do, Scott? What do they allow you to do? Is everything done on Zoom? Are you allowed to go to the ballpark? What are you allowed to do?
I am allowed to go to the ballpark, sit in the press box, and beyond that, and watch the game. And beyond that, that's about it. We have access to players all via Zoom, so they are downstairs, we are upstairs. There are no face-to-face interviews. There are no... there's no contact with players or vice versa. If you are inclined, you can travel on your own, of course, to a game. I was considering driving to New York on Thursday to cover that game at Yankee Stadium. I don't see myself getting on a plane to go anywhere this year, especially given what the access is like. So that's what I'm allowed to do, and you know, you're a journalist, right? So you kind of want to be where the news is, and you want to cover the news, you know, and you want to do so safely as well. So it's kind of a balancing act for those of us in the media, too.
No, and that's, in fact, Learfield sent out a questionnaire to Jack Hamm and me about Penn State football, And Scott, they asked whether we were comfortable doing games at home, comfortable doing games away, and comfortable traveling. And the two of us both said absolutely we had no problem doing it because we feel the same way you do. You want to be there. You can just tell when you're watching a broadcast or even listening to a broadcast, you can hear the delay in the broadcast because they're trying to follow it on the monitor. It's different. So I understand exactly how you feel.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's just ingrained within us. It's also what we do. I mean, we cover sports, but, you know, certainly there's a news element to that, and we cover the news, and, you know, you want to be there for that. So, and like I said, just to be as safe as you possibly can. And, you know, it sort of complicates things when you can't, you know, go speak to a player face to face, and you understand why you can't. And quite honestly, I think walking into a locker room right now is like the last thing I'd want to do. So, I'm certainly not complaining about the change in access, but, the lack of being able to do that anymore, you do ask yourself that question, like, do I want to get on an airplane? Do I want to go stay in a hotel in order to have the same access I would have by Zoom if I were not there? So, you know, home games are certainly one thing. It's been really interesting, I'll tell you that, to be in the ballpark for these games so far, to sort of see the scene, you know, no fans in the stands and the piped-in crowd noise and see it all with your own eyes. I've described it as science fiction, and no matter how many times I walk in there and go see a game, I never lose that. It never feels more normal to me than the way it did the first day. So, you know, it's something to see, and that's why we do it. We want to be there and tell the story.
You do great work, and we appreciate your time today very much, especially with all the breaking news.
Sure, Steve, anytime. Thanks for having me.